Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to This Is It, Inconvenient Truth. I'm your host, A.M. Styles, and tonight's topic is CRPS Awareness Month. Many of you know that I have CRPS, or complex regional pain syndrome, but before I actually start the show, you know, I do my usual spiel about things going on around the world. So I want to send out my condolences for those that were affected by the horrific terrorist attack, homegrown terrorist attack, in my opinion. Condolences to those families and those that were affected. So I do believe it's time for some serious legislation to curb and control some of this these mass shootings. So. But like I said, that's just my opinion, but what do I know? So, now, today's topic is complex regional pain syndrome, or RSD, reflex sympathetic dystrophy syndrome, awareness month. Maybe you know, I have CRPS. Physicians don't know why it develops or what causes it, but CRPS is a nerve disorder that usually occurs after a traumatic injury, surgery, sprain, fracture, or a period of immobilization. The principal symptom is pain dramatically disproportionate to the injury. More than 140 years ago, Dr. Silas Weir Mitchell, a Union Army surgeon, first discovered the excruciating pain that we know as CRPS, and it can also lead to disability. I may look healthy, but oftentimes I suffer unbearable, unrelenting, and burning nerve pain. The McGill Pain Scale rates the pain of people with this disease or syndrome with higher than that of people with cancer. Yeah, my skin swells, sweats, changes colors, temperature, or hurt to the slightest touch. But yes, that is CRPS, which, yes, it can spread. Mine has spread. I've been living with this for a little over two decades. So so with that being said, today or November, or in with some organizations called November, so with K-N-O, and then there's Nervember. So different organizations have different things to bring awareness. For me, it's whatever is going to help get the word out or the information out to others about what many live with. And sometimes we don't know exactly how we want to make it from day to day, but we all are fighters in our own way. Me personally, yes, I will continue to fight as best as I can. There's days like today when my pain levels are real high, and had brain fog and everything else. Originally, I wasn't going to do the show because of the pain I was in, but this means so much more to me. I know that my family would rather that I take it easy and try to conserve as much of my energy or what little I have, so that way I don't go into causing more pain to myself. And a lot of times when we're, or those that suffer with this or live with this, I shouldn't say suffer, even though we are suffering, but we're trying to be positive about how we get out the information, or I don't want to say portray, but how we try to ensure that other people understand what it is that we're actually going through. Like I said, for me, it's, I have to keep moving. I talked with a colleague. She lives with some other form of nerve disease. I can't remember, but she says that, kind of like me, we try to keep busy so we don't think about it. And those days when we can't, I mean, is when we've basically done too much or overextend ourselves, so we go into a flare and we be down for anywhere from one day to several days. The longest I've ever been down from overextending myself was about 3 days. And for me, that was a lot. It's hard to describe exactly what it is that we feel. I mean, we try to come up with different things and say, hey, it feels like this, or imagine it. But there's no true definition, or there's no true way to explain to anyone exactly what we're going through. And it affects each person differently. And, for me, if you've heard some of the previous shows, you've probably heard me mention that I have upper body, or mine is more so centered around the upper body, from my head down to my waist is where I feel it the most. Some days I feel it in my legs and my feet, but it's more so my upper body to where it, I feel drained. And then there's those that, or a lot of people that I've met, there's more people that I've met that have it in their lower body. And unfortunately for me, there's things, I mean, there's treatments out there for it. But a lot of the treatment that they have or devices they use to help treat RSD, I'm not a good candidate for. One, I've had it for too long. They say that for most treatments to work or be effective, they try to get it within the first few months of developing it. Sadly, so many people are misdiagnosed. I was one of them, and I went 15, about, you know, diagnosed in 2013. So, I'll say for about 16, 17 years, I lived with it and just thought it was part of my life now, not knowing that there was actually a name for it. In my book, two of my books, really, the This Is It, Inconvenient Truth, that I wrote years ago, along with my inspirational book, IP Address, I talk about what happened to me and how, to me, it was like, okay, well, if you're saying that I'm crazy, then I gotta, you know, not come off as though I'm crazy, because despite what I was feeling. And once I was diagnosed in 2013, is when I learned of others that had it and how many, and what the name that they call it, which is a suicide disease. I can understand at the time why they call it the suicide disease, even though, yeah, there were days I wanted to cut off my own hand and arm and be done with it. But for others, that it was far greater pain to them. And so they unfortunately took their own lives because it was that unbearable for them. I'm not going to say I'm lucky, but I have a high tolerance for pain, so I'm able to deal with it and kind of coach myself or calm myself down to where I try to defeat those thoughts. No, I mean, it's not easy to defeat, to get those thoughts out of your head because you're in constant pain and you want it to be done and over with. And when you hear that there's no cure, nothing that's going to help, then that becomes a last resort. No, I should say last resort, but that becomes something that people think about doing or have done. I'm not one to say someone is wrong for doing that. And I say that because I know how much pain I can live with. Now, if I can live with the same amount of pain or deal with it the same way as that, I may be able to encourage people to where, you know, try talking to someone else, finding support groups or someone that you feel can understand where you're coming from. Sadly, there's not many people out there that really care. Today, I was reminded about something that I had wrote a few years ago, back in 2015, and I shared it out on my personal page and also on my AM Styles page, basically saying that don't pray for me. And the message behind that is that I don't want people praying for me because when they find out that I have this nerve disease, because there are so many other people that live with this, and I'm okay for the most part. I'm not saying okay that, hey, I can go out and live the life I used to live. I know I can't, but don't pray for me just in word. If you want to help not only me but millions of others across the world, make it known. Tell people about it or ask questions. Google it. There's even videos on YouTube. Of course, this show started out as the RSD show, but because of several callers that are calling in, they didn't have RSD, but they had fibromyalgia, or they may have had MS, and they felt that what I was saying in the beginning, it helped them get through their trials and tribulations as far as someone with their illnesses. And it encouraged them to where they felt, hey, you know what? I know the show is not about me, but the words that he's saying, they can apply to my situation. And so over time, after, you know, talking to different people that I listened to the show, I decided to, you know, not just make it solely about RSD, which later I also created different fighters' creeds, so that way people can say, I too, I'm a fighter, I'm a warrior, I'm a fight just like you're telling us to fight, I'm gonna do the same thing. And for those that don't, excuse me, I'm having a hard time with allergies, so please bear with me. But for me, let me read you, oh, not for me, but let me go ahead and read to you all what the Fighter Creed is. The Fighter Creed basically states this: I, and you say your name, will not give in to the pain. I will continue to fight for my life, family, friends, and others who may suffer from this disease. I know I'm not alone and I can still have a life. I control and own my body. My pain cannot define me, but I can define the pain by which I learn to control. I would take small steps, for I know the journey is long and hard. When I feel as though I can't continue, I'll reach out to my support system and ask for help. I will speak and think positive of myself because I know I am worth it. I may struggle along the way, but I will keep my faith. I will pray that my steps are steady, for I know not all of the ground I walk on. I will help others as we are all part of the human body. I will call 911 when I feel the need to end my life. I cannot bring pain to others, yet help bring relief as best as I can. This is my Creed as a fighter. I wrote that right after learning Sophie committed suicide. If you go out to A.M. Styles, the author on Facebook, you'll find one of the photos, you'll see different versions, whether it's for heart disease, MS, lupus, fibro, diabetes, chiari malformation, Lyme disease. I mean, I didn't create one for each one because I don't know all the different colors, or I know some of them overlap. So I took it as, like, if you don't see one for the color that represents what you're fighting for, let me know. I don't have a problem creating one that is for you or for what you live, whatever disease you live with. The whole purpose is for everyone to know and understand that, hey, we're not alone. We can work together and bring awareness not only for just for cancer or diabetes or heart, but for every disease that's out there. And people don't realize that, or may not know that what I live with, they think that, oh, it's a small number. It really isn't. The one thing that I've learned over the years since being diagnosed is that a lot of people who live with this, they hide it. They want people to know about what they're going through. The only time you may see or hear them speak of this disease is during the awareness month. For me, it's awareness 24/7. If I have a chance to speak to someone about RSD, I'm going to. And the ironic thing, or kind of strange, is that everybody that I have met, I'll say just this year alone, I've met more people as I network for AMSOS Enterprises. I've met more people that have some form of chronic pain or diseases or illnesses. And once they start talking to me one-on-one and ask me about who I am, what I do, and I tell them everything, then they open up about what they're going through. And so they become more encouraged to, you know, speak on different things. It's not easy to talk about being in pain because we've all been told, suck it up, buttercup, or no one wants to hear about it, you're complaining too much. I get it. But this is not someone that is talking about something just to get attention. We're talking about this to bring awareness that, for me, I'm affected by this. My family's affected by this. There are days where, like I've stated before, I can't get out of bed. But I know, I need to get out of bed, or I need to fight through that day, so that way I can keep moving. One of my angels brought up in the beginning, move it or lose it. So I'm always fighting to make it through the day, to be alive for the day. I live for, not just for the moment, but because I choose not to let this define me or make me feel I'm less of a human than anyone else. I am human. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to feel things. And I think that for me, having this has taught me more so that because I live with pain, that I'm more open to understanding people and what they may go through or how they may be feeling. I'm able to relate to the different aspects of their life as they're able to do the same for me. We share a common bond, and the bond is not that we're sick or we're doomed, but the bond is that we understand that we feel pain. we experience this in our lives. So the question is, what all do you do when you have CRPS? What treatments are there? How do you go about your day? Is there medications? What type of doctors do you see? The answer to that is it depends on what exactly of it, where your RSV one started, if it hasn't spread, if it's in your foot or your ankle, you go see a foot or ankle doctor, podiatrist, I believe. Don't quote me on it. Kind of brain fog today. If it's in your hands, you go see an ortho doctor that specializes in hands. Same with the arms. I went through 5 different doctors, even a neurologist, 2 neurologists. Did they actually find a solution? No. They told me that, hey, whatever you're doing, keep doing, because nothing we can do for you, because in my medical file, and yes, I'm choosing to share this, they knew that a lot of these pain medications I could not take. Lyrica caused weight gain, caused my legs to want to give out, which also had pods. It also caused pooling of the blood. It didn't stop the pain, but after a while, it started messing with my stomach. Had to get away from it. Sorry, I got a message from my DJ. He suffers from anxiety attacks or PTSD because he was attacked, and which brings me up to something else. It is a sidetrack for a moment, but with Veterans Day coming up, think about all the veterans that live with PTSD. A few years ago, about 2 years ago, I was up in Denver, and outside at the hotel with some teammates, somebody used to work for, they, I met this this Army Ranger, and I had on some shorts. It was kind of hot and humid that night, but there were storms around, and he looked at my legs, and my hands was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I'm like, I said, "What are you talking about?" His wife. He's like, "Oh, the first thing's gonna look like your hand. The only time I've ever seen someone look like that with their hands and their legs, they have some type of nerve problem." And I smiled and I said, I told him if I had RSD. He was like, "Oh my God." He's like, one of the people that's in my troop had the same thing. And he says, and he's like, "I suffer from PTSD. He said, and my brother in arms also has PTSD, but he also has that RSD or whatever you all call it now. He's like, "I'm so sorry." I'm like, "Why?" It's like, based upon what my brother has said, and I'm saying brother because, you know, when you're in the military, that becomes your family, your brother, your sister. He said that his brother saw how bad he was, normally took it serious. So yeah, that's where I'm going with that. So sorry. I've also got a call. Sorry. But anyway, how do you take something like this and turn it into something positive? For me, turning something into positive was changing how I viewed my situation or my diagnosis or diagnoses, because I have more than one thing. I tell people that I go see my regular doctor. I don't, when they try to refer me to see another specialist to find out what else is wrong? I decline that. All because keep looking for, I mean, I know that RSD or CRPS, whichever one you want to call it, it does affect different, there other issues may arise because of RSD, or maybe another underlying issue that RSD has brought to light. Either way, I don't, for me, I don't want anything else negative to where it has me thinking, oh, really? Now this, on top of this. Luckily, I have in the past year, you may remember me saying that I was going to a cardiologist. And they're talking about they're seeing something wrong. With my heart, it was enlarged. I kept telling them that every time they were running tests, there was storms around, and literally when the storms are around, my body goes haywire. And so I kept telling them, like, well, what you're looking for is not going to be there. But it kept showing them my heart was, the stress was too much on my body. And I kept telling them, like, well, why is your blood pressure high? I'm like, I'm in pain. I can't control it. There's storms around. It hurts. The closer it gets, the worse off I am. But when, if there's a rainstorm coming, once the rain starts, the pressure eases up, and I feel a lot better. But they didn't see that or realize that. All the tests came back negative. Veins are good. No plaque in them. I mean, it was just, and they're dumbfounded, like, well, we don't understand. What is the problem? Why on these tests, on the, I have to go back, compare those days on those tests, pull up the weather history. I said, one day it was real hot. I said, okay. I said, now look ahead 2 days. And I was like, ooh, yeah, there's stuff like, you all don't understand. My body can tell when the atmosphere is about to change. And so fast forwarding to now, saw the cardiologist last week, and he's like, the heart's working back at 100%. It's back the right size and everything else. And I slide up like, yeah, people are finally understanding what I'm talking about. And he's like, but your blood pressure, I'm still in pain. That's not going to stop. I said, I can't take medicines. I said, because I'm trying to figure out picking what I'm allergic to and all these pain medicines, it's going to take too long, it's going to be too costly. Now, the insurance I have now is worthless. So, with that being said, that's one of the downsides, but upsides to RSD. I tell people, no matter what they live with, know your body. Like right now, with the weather playing, being, you know, unstable or unpredictable, it's, one day is hot, next day is cold. It's fluctuating so much to where my body doesn't know what to really do. It already has a hard time regulating its temperature. So because I know this, I've changed my diet during this time. Everything I eat is very light. I might eat more of it to kind of fill me up, but the stuff that I eat is more so of a liquid diet than anything. I know that it won't cause me to, you know, get sick, have stomach cramps, or feeling nauseous or anything like that, because like I said, that's one of the things that happens is when the weather goes up and down like this. So, if there's anyone, no, there's one in the chat room. If you want to call in, you can call into the number of 646-716-9186. Once again, if you'd like to call in, go ahead and call into 646-716-9186. And you press the number 1 key and it'll let me know that you want to be live on the air with me and we can talk about it. I do want to tell you the show is brought to you by a good friend. She helped my wife find insurance for her and my boys. Unfortunately, because everything that's wrong with me, most insurance won't touch me, so I'll find something for myself between now and the end of enrollment period. But for those in the DFW area, look up Lori Soto with U.S. Health Advisors and speak to her. She can help people that healthy people, I should say. It's not really much that can be done with when you have a pre-existing condition. So I know our lives are limited, but sometimes you gotta look at things from a different perspective and focus on life with me. I know because of my age and everything that I live with, it will break my family. So I'll try and I'm finding something to where I can have my wife and my boys covered and I'll find something for myself to where it doesn't really break the bank. So if you have family and there's no known conditions that they have, hey, go for it, speak with someone, and let them explain to you some of the things that unfortunately a lot of people don't know or understand. So, 1 second, I get a take a sip of my water. Okay. Now, back to what I was talking about. What else is known about RSV? Often it's difficult for people with RSV to sleep. We have what we call brain pain brain or brain fog. It's hard for us to concentrate, especially when we're in a lot of pain. Some are frequently following a prescribed medication regimen that usually involves powerful drugs with many side effects that affect their alertness, their attentiveness, and which is another story, or I'm sorry, another, because some of the pain meds that actually do work or help those living in chronic pain, they're trying to say that we're addicts or people in pain that take pain medications are addicts. No, it's not addicts. It's if you're in constant pain and you take something to actually stop the pain or give you part of your life back compared to being homebound, not able to get out, not able to move, we all have to start thinking differently about how to classify everything. Unfortunately, it's like if you are sick, ill, or have a disease, that you're subhuman. And I don't agree with that. I don't hide the fact that I have RSV. I mean, I have different medical devices that I use to help me through the day. Some days I use my cane. I have leg braces. I have compression gloves to keep my hand. And every once in a while I have to wear a shoulder brace or a back brace to, you know, keep myself together, if you will. It is often hard to move easily or keep my body steady. for me, in the beginning, after being diagnosed, after really having my hand surgery and trying to, you know, continue with my life, going out to eat, it was embarrassing, it was difficult, and depressing. Depressing because I couldn't even hold a knife or a spoon or a fork. I couldn't even hold a glass to whoever brought me something to drink. I would have to ask for a long straw just so that way I don't want to, it got bad when people started looking at me, even when a kid, he didn't know. I mean, I was a young child. I overheard his mom, overheard him ask his mom, "What's wrong with him? He's sick. He can't." And the mother snapped at him like, "Don't stare. That's rude." And I wanted to get up and say, "He's fine. He wants to know what's wrong." Explain to children that there's people with disabilities, and they may look like you or me, but I mean on the outside, but there might be something wrong on the inside. Yeah, I have my compression gloves on. In fact, a lot of people don't realize why I wear gloves. They think I'm wearing gloves because of the work I do. Or they think, "Oh, well, you got to go work out." No, these are not workout gloves. These are compression gloves. They help me be able to actually move my hand and hold things, because if I don't have them on, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to drop something. And I've even trying to use these hand grips to strengthen my grip. Some days I can do it, other days it hurts. But like with any kind of chronic pain, like one, you know, people that live with CRPS often lead to depression because they undergo significant, often negative life changes. Like I said, going out to eat, that was depressing for me. What I started doing to deal with it, I mean, there's date night. We'll go out to eat, out to dinner. I would always order finger food. So that way I don't go out trying to use any kind of utensils. It was easy to pick up something with my good hand and conceal my bad one. People were none the wiser. That's what I would call the ostrich syndrome, where you hide your head in the ground or in the sand in shame. During that time, I didn't know what to really think, or I didn't really understand my own emotions about this new life that I now embarked on after being diagnosed. I mean, yes, before my hand surgery, the headaches, the burning, you can move through. I don't want to say move through, but it didn't affect me as much as being limited on using my hands. Yeah, true enough, the headaches, if they're too bad, I'll just go lay down or ice pack or whatever. But when you can't even move your hands, or move a limb, period, that you've used your whole life before you develop RSD, that's a game changer. And you have to look at things, or look at yourself as look at how you used to live before, how maybe you trained before, that you were focused on achieving those goals or being the best that you could be at whatever you're doing before. Or you got to do the same way, but then you have to think about it or accomplish it in a different way with a different mindset. And I say mindset because you may not be able to be that the number one or the winner of that for that day about completing everything. You may only get halfway through it. And I try to explain to everyone, you know what? You only got halfway through, but you're still moving. You got tomorrow to go even further. I mean, we all have our good and bad days, hours, stresses increase. I mean, stress can increase your pain. And when I say stress is a silent killer, really it is, because it will affect your heart. It'll affect your whole body, literally. But when you have a disease that the more stress that your body is under, you can go to a flare. And when I say a flare, I mean everything in your body basically just, I don't want to say stop, but it takes more energy just to do everything on top of the additional pain that you can't block out. You can't take medications for. It's that point when you're like, you know what, I just got to ease up from whatever I'm doing. I got to calm myself down mentally. Because if not, it's going to get worse and it's going to prolong your recovery. Unfortunately, there's no, like I said before, there's no cure for CRPS. I always have hope because of the support of my family and friends and ongoing research. I know that it is difficult. I mean, like right now, I really am struggling to make it through this show, and I stayed for 2 hours. Do I think I'll make it 2 hours? I don't know. All I do know is that I'm going to go as far as I possibly can with it. But with that being said, I am going to take a quick break so I can, you know, get myself back together. And I'll admit, there's days when there are certain foods that I like that I know I'm not supposed to eat it, but because I like the food, I would go ahead and, you know, eat it. But now, not so much. It's to the point now to where I have to question myself, is this something that I really want to deal with? And the aspect of, hey, do I eat it now and pay for it later? Or, you know what, let me just avoid it altogether because I don't like the feeling that I get afterwards. I mean, it is a balance. You got to know, are you prepared for what's to come? Behind every decision or choice that you make, there's consequences. And for me, I've had to make different choices or sacrifice, like, hey, you know what? It's not worth it. I avoid it at all costs. Another time, it's like, you know what? I want it. I'm going to eat it. I'm going to drink it or whatever. I mean, same thing goes for when you want to go have fun with your family and friends. Is it worth the extra pain that you're going to be in? Sometimes it's yes. I mean, there's times when I've actually went out or went somewhere with my wife knowing that where we're going is going to cause me to go into a flare or cause me to get sick. And I started there and I asked myself, is it really worth it? Sometimes to me it is because it's not an everyday thing. And sometimes just getting out and experiencing different things, that's also beneficial. Because it's one of the things is that you're retraining your brain that, hey, you know what? This is what you do. Now, one of the things I do that people don't know that I do is actually if we go to, can't say a club, but we don't go to clubs, but going somewhere where there's music being played, I keep earplugs with me at all times. So that way, if it's too loud, put them out my pocket, and hey, I can continue with life or continue with the event and not feel like that, okay, I'm keeping my wife from, you know, enjoying some stuff that she wants to do. And I know some people will say that it's too much or whatever, but for me, it's a small sacrifice that sometimes, yeah, you know what, I might be down for a few days afterwards, but for that moment, I'm living and experiencing something that I haven't done in a while, or it's been difficult for me to do, but I want to take that chance. I want to take that risk. But that's just me. I can't say that everybody else can or should do that because, like I said, each person is different. Some people may find it easy and okay to do. Others may feel it's not for them. And I tell everybody, if it's not for you, don't do it. Don't put yourself in a situation to where you're causing yourself or others more harm. For me, was I causing more harm? Not really. I mean, I was going to be in pain anyway, so why let the pain keep me from doing anything else? But, yeah, there's other days where it's like, okay, it's nothing I can do. Pain is too great. But we have about another 10 minutes before I'll end the show. And with that being said, I mean, for those that are listening or that will listen later on, please just Google CRPS, Complex Regional Pain Syndrome, RSD, Reflex Sympathetic Dystrophy, and get an understanding. I mean, for any disease that you don't know, go ahead and Google. Learn about it. Once you learn about it, then you can become an advocate. You know, help speak up for people that live with chronic pain. That's one of the things that I think we as humans, or some people may call themselves Christians, but if you're a Christian, you don't want someone else suffering. You want to help them. So just remember that what you don't understand, it helps to learn by seeking the knowledge. Once you seek the knowledge, then you will gain that understanding and maybe relate. I won't say that you will understand as far as what it is that we all go through or deal with on a daily, but it gives you an understanding about the illness or the disease that you have looked up. So with that being said, I'm going to say once again, tonight's show is brought to you by Lori Soto with U.S. Health. You can find her on social media. If you know someone that's looking for healthcare, go ahead and call her. That's might in the DFW, Dallas-Fort Worth area. So that way she can help their family or your family to get a better health coverage or understanding what the options are as far as health care. So I thank you for tuning in and listening, and I will broadcast next week. Have a good evening. Thank you.